your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're reporting this week on this first hour on the Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh appointment to the Supreme Court. And it was a raucous, riotous at times of interview and discussion and quizzing and of Judge Kavanaugh. And it was clearly along partisan lines. But what I'm going to do first is I'm going to play you the introductory statements by both Senator Grassley, who's the chairman, and the minority leader, who is Senator Feinstein. So going to let you listen to that first, and then we'll put some other clips up and make comments and end the hour like that. But listen to their opening statements this week, Thursday.
This morning, we continue our hearing on the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to serve as Associate Justice on our Supreme Court. We will hear from two witnesses, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. Thanks, of course, to Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh for accepting our committee's invitation to testify, and also thank them for their volunteering to testify before we even invited. Both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh have been through a terrible couple weeks. They and their families have received vile threats. What they have endured ought to be considered by all of us as unacceptable and a poor reflection on the state of civility in our democracy. So I want to apologize to you both for the way you've been treated, and I intend, hopefully for today's hearing, to be safe, comfortable, and dignified for both of our witnesses. I hope my colleagues will join me in this effort of a show of civility. With that said, I lament that this hearing has come about. On July the 9th, 2018, the President announced Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to serve on the Supreme Court. Judge Kavanaugh has served on the most important federal appellate court for 12 years. Before that, he held some of the most sensitive positions in the federal government. The President added Judge Kavanaugh to his short list of Supreme Court more than 9 months ago in November 2017. As part of Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court, the FBI conducted its sixth full field background investigation of Judge Kavanaugh since 1993, 25 years ago. Nowhere in any of these six FBI reports, which committee investigators have reviewed on a bipartisan basis, was there a whiff of any issue at all related in any way to inappropriate sexual behavior. Dr. Ford first raised her allegations in a secret letter to the ranking member nearly 2 months ago, in July. This letter was secret from July 30th, September 13th, to, no, July 30th until September 13th when I first heard about it. The ranking member took no action. The letter wasn't shared with me, our colleagues, or my staff. These allegations could have been investigated in a way that maintained the confidentiality that Dr. Ford requested. Before his hearing, Judge Kavanaugh met privately with 65 senators, including the ranking member. But the ranking member didn't ask Judge Kavanaugh about the allegations when she met with him privately in August. The Senate Judiciary Committee held its four-day public hearing from September 4th to September 7th. Judge Kavanaugh testified for more than 32 hours in public. We held a closed session for members to ask sensitive questions on the last evening, which the ranking member did not attend. Judge Kavanaugh answered nearly 1,300 written questions submitted by senators after the hearing, more than all prior Supreme Court nominees. Throughout this period, we did not know about the ranking member's secret evidence. Then, only at an 11th hour, on the eve of Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation vote, did the ranking member refer the allegations to the FBI. And then, sadly, the allegations were leaked to the press. And that's where Dr. Ford was mistreated. This is a shameful way to treat our witness who insisted on confidentiality. And of course, Judge Kavanaugh, who has had to address these allegations in the midst of a media circus. When I received Dr. Ford's letter on September the 13th, my staff and I recognized the seriousness of these allegations and immediately began our committee's investigation consistent with the way the committee has handled such allegations in the past. Every step of the way, the Democratic side refused to participate in what should have been a bipartisan investigation, and as far as I know, on all of our judgeships throughout at least the last 4 years, or 3 years, that's been the way it's been handled. After Dr. Ford's identity became public, my staff contacted all the individuals she said attended the 1982 party described in the Washington Post article. Judge Kavanaugh immediately submitted to an interview under penalty of felony for any knowingly false statements. He denied the allegations categorically. Democratic staff was invited to participate and could have asked any questions they wanted to, but they declined. Which leads me then to wonder, if they're really concerned with going to the truth, why wouldn't you want to talk to the accused? The process and procedure is what the committee always does when we receive allegations of wrongdoing. My staff reached out to other individuals allegedly at the party, Mark Judge, Patrick Smith, Leland Kaiser. All three submitted statements to the Senate under penalty of felony, denying any knowledge of the events described by Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford's lifelong friend, Ms. Kaiser, stated she doesn't know Judge Kavanaugh and doesn't recall ever attending a party with him. My staff made repeated requests to interview Dr. Ford during the past 11 days, even volunteering to fly to California to take her testimony. But her attorneys refused to present her allegations to Congress. I nevertheless honored her request for a public hearing, so Dr. Ford today has the opportunity to present her allegations under oath. As you can see, the Judiciary Committee was able to conduct thorough investigations into allegations. Some of my colleagues, consistent with their stated desires to obstruct Kavanaugh's nomination by any means necessary, pushed for FBI investigations into the allegations. But I have no authority to force the executive branch agency to conduct an investigation into a matter it considers to be closed. Moreover, once the allegations became public, it was easy to identify all the alleged witnesses and conduct our own investigations. Contrary to what the public has been led to believe, the FBI doesn't perform any credibility assessments or verify the truth of any events in these background investigations. I'll quote then-Chairman Joe Biden during Justice Thomas's confirmation hearing. This is what Senator Biden said, quote, "The next person who refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. The FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion, period. They say he said, she said, they said, period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand they do not. They do not. They do not reach conclusions. They do not make recommendations." End of Senator Biden's quote. The FBI provided us with the allegations. Now it's up to the Senate to assess their credibility, which brings us to this very time. I look forward to a fair and respectful hearing. That's what we promised Dr. Ford. Some of my colleagues have complained about the fact that an expert on this side is investigating sex crimes will be questioning the witness. I see no basis for complaint other than just plain politics. The testimony we will hear today concerns allegations of sexual assault, very serious allegations. This is an incredibly complex and sensitive subject to discuss, and it's not an easy one to discuss. That is why the senators on this side of the dais believe an expert. Allegations should be asking questions. This will be a stark contrast to grandstanding and chaos that we saw from the other side during the previous 4 days in this hearing process. I can think of no one better than the witnesses than Rachel Mitchell. Ms. Mitchell is a career prosecutor, civil servant with decades of experience investigating and prosecuting sex crimes. She has dedicated her career to seeking justice for survivors of sex-related felonies. Most recently, Rachel was a division chief of the Special Victims Division, Maricopa County Attorney's Office, which prosecutes sex crimes and family violence. Then Democratic Senator Governor Janet Napolitano previously recognized her as the outstanding Arizona sexual assault prosecutor of the year. And she has spent years instructing prosecutors, detectives, and child protection workers on how to properly interview victims of sexual assault and abuse. With her aid, I look forward to a fair and productive hearing. I understand that there are two other public allegations. Today's hearing was scheduled to, in close consultation with Dr. Ford's attorneys, and her testimony will be the subject of this hearing. We have been trying to investigate other allegations. At this time, we have not had cooperation from attorneys representing other clients, and they have made no attempt to substantiate their claims. My staff has tried to secure testimony and evidence from attorneys for both Deborah Ramirez and Julie Swetnick. My staff made eight requests for evidence from attorneys for Ms. Ramirez, and six requests for evidence for attorneys for Ms. Swetnick. Neither attorney has made their clients available for interview. The committee can't do an investigation if attorneys are stonewalling. I hope you all understand that we have attempted to seek additional information, as we do a lot of times when there are holes in what we call the BI reports. Additionally, all the witnesses should know, by when I say all the witnesses, I mean Dr. Ford and I mean Judge Kavanaugh, all the witnesses should know that they have the right under Senate Rule 26.5 to ask that the committee go into closed session if a question requires an answer that is a clear invasion of their right to privacy. If either Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh feel that Senate Rule 26.5 ought to be involved, they should simply say so. Senator Feinstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll make just a brief comment on your references to me. Yes, I did receive a letter from Dr. Ford. It was conveyed to me by a member of Congress, Anna Eshoo. The next day, I called Dr. Ford. We spoke on the phone. She reiterated that she wanted this held confidential, and I held it confidential up to a point where the witness was willing to come forward. And I think as I make my remarks, perhaps you'll see why. Because how women are treated in the United States with this kind of concern is really wanting a lot of reform. And I'll get to that for a minute. But in the meantime, good morning, Dr. Ford. Thank you for coming forward and being willing to share your story with us. I know this wasn't easy for you. But before you get to your testimony, and the chairman chose not to do this, I think it's important to make sure you're properly introduced.
I was going to introduce her, but if you want to introduce her, I'll be glad to have you do that. But I want you to know I didn't forget to do it because I would do that just as she was about to speak.
Thank you. I have to say, when I saw your CV, I was extremely impressed. You have a bachelor's degree from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, two master's degrees, one from Stanford and one from Pepperdine, and a PhD from the University of Southern California, better known to Senator Harris and I as USC. You are a professor affiliated with both Stanford University and Palo Alto University. You have published over 65 peer-reviewed articles and have received numerous awards for your work and research. And as if that were not enough, you are a wife, a mother of two sons, and a constituent from California. So I am very grateful to you for your strength and your bravery in coming forward. I know it's hard. But before I turn it over, I want to say something about what is to be discussed today and where we are as a country. Sexual violence is a serious problem and one that largely goes unseen. In the United States, it's estimated by the Centers for Disease Control, one in three women and one in six men will experience some form of sexual violence in their lifetime. According to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, 60% of sexual assaults go unreported. In addition, when survivors do report their assaults, it's often years later due to the trauma they suffered and fearing their stories will not be believed. Last week, I received a letter from a 60-year-old California constituent who told me that she survived an attempted rape at age 17. She described as being terrified and embarrassed. She never told a soul until much later in life. The assault stayed with her for 43 years. I think it's important to remember these realities as we hear from Dr. Ford about her experience. There's been a great deal of public discussion about the Me Too movement today versus the Year of the Woman almost 27 years ago. But while young women are standing up and saying no more, our institutions have not progressed in how they treat women who come forward. Too often, women's memories and credibility come under assault. In essence, they are put on trial and forced to defend themselves and often re-victimized in the process. 27 years ago, I was walking through an airport when I saw a large group of people gathered around a TV to listen to Anita Hill tell her story. What I saw was an attractive woman in a blue suit before an all-male judiciary committee, speaking of her experience of sexual harassment. She was treated badly, accused of lying, attacked, and her credibility put to the test throughout the process. Today, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford has come forward to tell her story of being assaulted and fearing for her life when she was a teenager. Initially, as I said, Dr. Ford did not want to make her story public. Then, within 36 hours of coming forward, Republicans scheduled a hearing without talking to her or even inviting her to testify. She was told she had to show up or the committee would move forward with a vote. It took a public outcry for the majority, to back down and give her even a few days to come before the committee. Republicans also scheduled this hearing with Dr. Ford without having her allegations investigated by the FBI. In 1991, Anita Hill's allegations were reviewed by the FBI, as is the normal process and squarely within its jurisdiction. However, despite repeated requests, President Trump and the Republicans have refused to take this routine step and direct the FBI to conduct an impartial investigation. This would clearly be the best way to ensure a fair process to both Judge Kavanaugh and to Dr. Ford. In 1991, the Senate heard from 22 witnesses over 3 days. Today, while rejecting an FBI investigation, Republicans are refusing to hear testimony from any other witness, including Mark Judge, who Dr. Ford identified as being in the room when the attack took place. And we believe Judge should be subpoenaed so the committee can hear from him directly. Republicans have also refused to call anyone who could speak to the evidence that would support or refute Dr. Ford's claim, and not one witness who could address credibility and character of either Ford or Kavanaugh has been called. What I find most inexcusable is this rush to judgment, the unwillingness to take these kinds of allegations at face value and look at them for what they are, a real question of character for someone who is asking for a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court. In 1991, Republicans belittled Professor Hill's experience, saying, and I quote, "It won't make a bit of difference in the outcome," end quote. And the burden of proof was on Professor Hill. Today, our Republican colleagues are saying this is a hiccup. Dr. Ford is mixed up and declaring, "I'll listen to the lady, but we're going to bring this to a close." What's worse, many of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle have also made it clear that no matter what happens today, the Senate will plow right through and ensure Judge Kavanaugh would be elevated within a week. In fact, on Tuesday, the majority went ahead and scheduled a vote on the nomination before we heard one word of testimony regarding allegations of sexual assault and misconduct by Brett Kavanaugh. Republican leadership even told senators they should plan to be in over this weekend so the nomination can be pushed through without delay. This is despite the fact that in the last few days, two more women have come forward with their own serious allegations of sexual assault involving Brett Kavanaugh. This past Sunday, we learned about Debbie Ramirez, who was a student at Yale with Brett Kavanaugh. She, too, did not want to come forward, but after being approached by reporters, she told her story. She was at a college party where Kavanaugh exposed himself to her. She recalls pushing him away and then seeing him laughing and pulling his pants up. Then yesterday, Judy Swetnick came forward to say that she had experiences of being at house parties with Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. She recounted seeing Kavanaugh engage, and I quote, in abusive and physically aggressive behavior toward girls, end quote, including attempts to, quote, remove or shift girls' clothing, end quote, not taking, quote, no for an answer, grabbing girls, quote, without their consent, end quote, and targeting, quote, particular girls so that they could be taken advantage of, end quote. Each of these stories are troubling on their own, and each of these allegations should be investigated by the FBI. All three women have said they would like the FBI to investigate. Please do so. All three have said they have other witnesses and evidence to corroborate their accounts. And yet Republicans continue to blindly push forward. So today we're moving forward with a hearing and being asked to assess the credibility of Brett Kavanaugh. He's made several statements about how his focus was on school, basketball, service projects, and going to church. He declared that he, quote, never, end quote, drank so much he couldn't remember what happened, and he has, quote, always treated women with dignity and respect, end quote. And while he has made these declarations, more and more people have come forward challenging his characterization of events and behaviors. James Roach, his freshman roommate at Yale, stated Kavanaugh was, and I quote again, frequently, incoherently drunk, end quote. And that was when, quote, he became aggressive and belligerent, end quote, when he was drunk. Liz Swisher, a friend of his from Yale, said, and I quote, there's no medical way I can say that he was blacked out, but it's not credible for him to say that he has no memory lapses in the nights that he drank to excess, end quote. Lynn Brooks, a college classmate, said the picture Kavanaugh is trying to paint doesn't match her memories of him. And I quote, he's trying to paint himself as some kind of choir boy. You can't lie your way onto the Supreme Court. And with that statement out, he's gone too far. It's about the integrity of the institution, end quote. Ultimately, members and ladies and gentlemen, I really think that's the point. We're here to decide whether to evaluate this nominee to the most prestigious court in our country. It's about the integrity of that institution and the integrity of this institution. The entire country is watching how we handle these allegations. I hope the majority changes their tactics, opens their mind, and seriously reflects on why we are here. We are here for one reason, to determine whether Judge Kavanaugh should be elevated to one of the most powerful positions in our country. This is not a trial of Dr. Ford. It's a job interview for Judge Kavanaugh. Is Brett Kavanaugh who we want on the most prestigious court in our country? Is he the best we can do? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. This hearing was totally along partisan, the Democrats against the Republicans. And they don't want a conservative judge like Brett Kavanaugh sitting on the Supreme Court. So it's a battle royal right now. And I'm going to play next Tucker Carlson. What happened later this week on Friday was they agreed, they have voted to go ahead and move the nomination of Kavanaugh into the Senate so that they can get ready for a vote. But also the agreement was coming from Senator Flake was that they also conduct a 7-day review, a FBI review of their original investigation, background investigation, and submit that to the Senate before the floor vote. But also, over on the Senate side, they're going ahead and progressing that vote at the same time. So you have two parallel things going on. You have the Senate that's already started progressing their process to make to take a floor vote after debate, 30 hours, I think. But also you have this 7-day reinvestigation or, you know, re-look, you could say, at the Kavanaugh, you know, interviews that have mostly already been done. But anyway, I'm going to play Tucker Carlson here, and he sort of sets the tone, and then there'll be some Hannity clips later. Listen to this second.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. This is the 10th day in a row that we have devoted a large portion of this show to Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. We've done that because this story matters, and not simply because the Supreme Court itself matters. The way Kavanaugh has been treated by Democrats in the Senate, as well as by the media and the left-wing interest groups who obediently do their bidding in concert, gets to the most basic questions about what kind of country we want to live in. Does every American deserve due process? Are the accused presumed innocent rather than guilty? Does fairness still matter in this country? Well, to all of those, we'd answer yes. The left argues no. To them, acquiring power justifies anything. That's the real debate here. We thought you should know that. And now to the day's developments, and there are many. After yesterday's hearings, it seemed that this debate must be drawing to a close. It's hard to imagine watching what Brett Kavanaugh said to the Senate yesterday without feeling profound sympathy. This is a deeply sincere man who believes that his family has been destroyed by false and unsupported allegations. Many wept as they watched him speak. Democrats remained unmoved. Some argued that Kavanaugh's anguish was itself evidence that he is a monster, as if only a sex criminal would recoil at being called a sex criminal.
He did so as both a calendar and a diary. He's a very organized guy, to put it mildly.
Well, that was the wrong soundbite, but you get the point. Barbara Boxer explained today that his anger on stage made her think he was capable of violence. Would you be angry if they said that about you? But no matter what they say, Democrats don't mean any of this personally. They don't hate Kavanaugh or his family. They don't seek to destroy either one. They're just irrelevant. Democrats just want to be in control. So yesterday, they immediately began stalling for time. And they did that by demanding a 7th FBI investigation into Brett Kavanaugh's life. The point was to run out the clock on his nomination. They continued that tactic today at two different hearings, and especially in the afternoon when the Senate Judiciary Committee reconvened. Watch this.
I cannot sit here. I cannot participate in what I know history is going to look back as a dark moment again, in the same way we look back at the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas trials. I cannot participate in that. To again relegate ourselves to what I believe is a dark, dark element of our society. So with that, sir, I will leave.
Well, that was New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, a man so oily he qualifies as an alternative fuel. Almost nobody who knows Booker takes him seriously, but today he found an ally, surprisingly, among Republicans. That was Jeff Flake of Arizona. Flake had declared that he would be voting for Kavanaugh's nomination. Then he was confronted by a mob of screaming protesters, the youth wing of the Democratic Party. Watch.
You are allowing someone who is unwilling to take responsibility for his own actions to sit in the higher court of the country and to have the role of repairing the harm that has been done in this country to many people. No, thank you. What do you think? You have power.
Ma'am, you want to talk to him?
No, I
want to
talk to him. Don't talk to him. What do you think? I understand, but tell me, I'm standing right here in front of you. What do you have? Do you think that he's telling the truth? Don't know.
Wow. That man looks afraid and ashamed. You don't often hear senators or see senators look like that. This kind of thing has been happening a lot in Washington. It happened to Ted Cruz. When he found himself surrounded by Red Guards like these at dinner, he left the restaurant. Jeff Flake crumbled. Flake announced that he would not approve Kavanaugh's nomination without additional FBI investigation. Democrats cheered his change of heart. Quote, I applaud Senator Jeff Flake's decision to rise above the partisan circus on display during this entire process, harumphed West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. Of course, in Washington, when they congratulate you on leaving the partisan circus, chances are you are now the ringmaster of the partisan circus. And, of course, Jeff Flake is exactly that. So what does this mean going forward? Well, factually, it doesn't mean a lot. The FBI does not want this case. There is nothing to investigate here, and they have said that pretty definitively already. Weeks ago, Dianne Feinstein sent them Christine Ford's original letter, and that was their response. This is not a federal criminal investigation. It cannot be. No federal crime has been alleged. Only police in Maryland can conduct an investigation into this, and they're not because, strangely, Christine Ford has never filed charges against Brett Kavanaugh in the jurisdiction where she says this took place. Instead, the FBI will conduct what is called a supplemental investigation. Agents will interview only those directly connected to Christine Ford's original allegation. In this case, that would amount to Christine Ford and Brett Kavanaugh, of course, along with the three people Ford says were present when she was attacked in 1982. That would be Mark Judge, P.J. Smith, and Leland Kaiser. The problem is that all five of these people have already given sworn testimony. You're aware of what they've said. Four of them have categorically denied under oath Ford's version of the story. If they deviate from their previous testimony, they could face criminal penalties. So what could we possibly learn from having the FBI interview them? Keep in mind that the FBI makes no judgments in these investigations. It does not assess credibility. It does not render any kind of conclusion. It just does interviews, and then it summarizes them for lawmakers. The FBI, no matter what they're telling you, is not a tiebreaker in this or any other investigation. It's an investigative agency that will provide the Senate with information that senators already have. So Brett Kavanaugh is going to get interviewed again. You'd probably have to get a prostate exam to be more thoroughly vetted than Kavanaugh has been in the last 20 years, and they may try that too. If you're looking for truth, this would be an utterly pointless exercise. You wouldn't consider it. But the truth is not what anyone is looking for here, as you may have figured out. Democrats are hoping that more baseless allegations will emerge during the delay during which the FBI is investigating things that have long been investigated. Perhaps another reptilian porn lawyer will come forward with another discredited client who describes fantasies of, I don't know, gang rape or human sacrifice or child trafficking. Maybe it'll be ritual satanic abuse this time. They haven't tried that one in a while. Who knows what it'll be? But when those charges emerge, Democrats will demand new public hearings on every single one of them. Democracy hangs in the balance, they will tell us, meaning their access to power hangs in the balance. It's not a complicated formula, and everyone in Washington knows exactly what's going on here, except for maybe poor Jeff Flake. People who know Flake say he may actually believe Democrats are acting in good faith, or maybe he's auditioning for a new employer. He's leaving the Senate early next year. Either way, you'd have to be an idiot to think that caving to this demand will induce Democrats to call off their smear campaign against Brett Kavanaugh and his family. They won't. They'll accelerate it. Why wouldn't they? It's working. But there's a cost, especially for Republicans. At this point, Kavanaugh isn't just a Supreme Court nominee. He is a folk hero to many people, an inspiration to millions. People who've spent the last 2 years being browbeaten and bullied by their moral inferiors were buoyed by what he said yesterday. These are people who've been told they are worthless and bigoted. They've been unfairly maligned because they are in the way of other people gaining power. They've been commanded to shut up and obey. Kavanaugh stood up for those people yesterday. He raised a middle finger to their tormentors, and they love him for it. Kavanaugh is far more popular with Republican voters tonight than any single Republican senator, and he's incalculably more popular than the Senate as a whole. Kavanaugh probably wouldn't describe it this way, but he now has a constituency, a powerful one, and they will long remember whether or not Republicans defend him in his moment of need. Shannon Bream hosts Fox News at night. She's also, of course, our Supreme Court correspondent and the most popular person in the building. She has followed this saga closer than anyone else has, and she joins us tonight. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we now have this delay over the weekend because Mitch McConnell is not going to go ahead and start with that Saturday vote and get this thing moving. So we've got the delay of the investigation. I've got some folks who think, I think you've talked to people, too, within the FBI. I think they can get this done more quickly than Friday because you... We have a finite universe of people who could be interviewed, right, unless we're talking about throwing in the Ramirez and Swetnick allegations.
Right. Is anyone seriously considering doing that? I think that Ramirez is
potentially being considered. I think Swetnick is not falling under what the White House or the Senate Judiciary Committee is calling credible, so it wouldn't fall into this investigation. They can do it quickly. I've also got a friend who is very close to an FBI agent, and she says they're all praying, as you said, that they don't get it. Nobody wants this to fall into their lap so that they have to handle this investigation. They feel like it's very political.
As a factual matter, have you heard, I mean, taking opinion out of this, have you heard anybody describe what we might learn from interviewing the five people at the center of the Ford allegations who've already given sworn testimony?
It's going to be the 302s. We've heard about this before. It's where an agent interviews people, they make a summary of it, and then they will hand them to the Senate Judiciary Committee and say, here are these interviews. Now, unless they don't match exactly with the sworn testimony people have already given, and then they're in trouble because everybody's been giving this under penalty of felony. If they say the exact same things that they have said, and Mark Judge and P.J. Smith and Brett Kavanaugh have all said that they will absolutely cooperate. They've sent out messages through themselves or their lawyers tonight saying, okay, great, we want to talk to you. Let's get this done. And I don't know that we're going to find out anything new. If we did, it would be a bombshell. But I think it's going to be almost like having somebody repeat and be a stenographer to the testimony that you just gave and that you heard under oath, right, and all the other statements we already have.
It's been a tiny fact set from day one. There just aren't that many facts.
Or people involved.
Yes, that's true. Shannon Bream, thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Both Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and so forth, they don't believe that much will come out of this. And that's what the Republicans are hoping for, that they're going to go out and interview the same people. Unless there's a reversal of some of their previous statements, then and if it's limited just to a certain number of people. But one FBI agent, a retired man, said they'll look at Kavanaugh's calendar and then take that thing apart, analyze the ink, make out for sure that he did write it when he said he did. But anyway, those are some interesting aspects there. But, okay, coming up next, we've got Sean Hannity and what he has to say. He's got a panel discussion with Tammy Bruce and Sarah Carter and others, and it's really interesting. Listen now to this.
If this behavior, if these tactics, and we get the Republicans racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, dirty air, water, kill grandma, hate kids. If this works in this case, guess what? And that will mean the United States Senate will be rewarding this behavior. And rights will be shattered. They will repeat these tactics, these smear campaigns, again and again and again. Smear, slander, lies, character assassination, bludgeoning of families, the destruction of fundamental core values just for pure political power and gain. We will never get the presumption of innocence back once you give it up. It will be the end of due process in America. Guilt by accusation will rule the day. And by the way, I'm warning you, nobody's going to be safe. And what you're seeing here now with Judge Kavanaugh is only the tip of the iceberg if they're successful. If Republicans don't send the Democrats in this instance a message, and by the way, if you, the voting public, if you don't show up in 39 days, what I've been telling you is the single most important midterm in your lifetime. You're going to get the government you deserve. You get the impeachment. You get to keep Obamacare. How's that working out? You'll get open borders, the elimination of ICE, and their crumbs will be back in politicians' pockets. Think about it for a second. If Judge Kavanaugh is not confirmed, there will literally be a fundamental shift now in America. We might not get it back. Maybe liberals are happy with this particular victory. But maybe next time it'll be somebody on their side of the aisle. Maybe someone in their family, maybe one of their loved ones. Are we going to become a country of guilty until proven innocent? Because that's a pretty scary and horrible place. No presumption of innocence. Here with reaction, Fox News contributor, radio host Tammy Bruce, Fox News contributor and investigative reporter Sarah Carter, the author of the brand new book, The Deep State, former chairman of the House Oversight Government Reform Committee, Fox News contributor now, Jason Chaffetz. Tammy, You're what's amazing about you, and I've known you many years.
Yeah.
You used to be the president of the National Organization for Women.
Yeah.
You have been the single most one of the most outspoken people on this. Passionate.
Look, I've spent most of my adult life fighting on these issues for the welfare of women and children. And we've spent certainly generations as women, as a country, to have women be heard, to elevate our lives, to make sure that what happens to us matters. And
By the way, I agree with that.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm sitting here. That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
And now we're in the 21st century. And women and young people elected to office, a generation that comes after and benefited from all the work that we've done, are now burning it to the ground. And they're using that power to destroy people's lives. And this is, you know, your monologue was fabulous, and they're doing all the things you said. But the other thing that's happening is they are now using all of us as collateral damage. They want votes. They want fundraisers. They want campaign ads. And the American people that are relying on all senators now simply are going to be ashes on the side of the road as long as they get what they want. And this is what we have to realize. For whether you're in California or any other state of this country, we've got a group of people, 100 people in the most revered institution in the history of mankind, have now decided that the sovereign, the citizen, is worth nothing. That they are to be used, whether it's a woman who's experienced a sexual assault, a man who's committed his life to public service as a judge, his family, that wife, those two little girls, all of our little girls, all of our lives. I'm not going to enter into the last third of my life after all the work, and none of us who worked through the 80s and the 90s to change this should sit by and watch this happen without calling it out and stopping it in November and afterwards to make sure that when Justice Kavanaugh is sitting there, he knows we've got his back and they will not define him or us in this process.
You know, Sarah, you're an investigative reporter. Okay, the FBI is now going to do their seventh check. It's going on now. We're told by the president who tweeted that out. Seventh check. The FBI, there's no forensics they can check. I hate to admit I watch forensic files a lot. I've watched all. I mean, it's amazing. 35 years later, dead case file. Okay, they can bring it back to life and find the people because of new technology that we have that we can catch killers. It's amazing. There's no place to go look. The only thing the FBI can do is interview the same four people. That
Dr. Ford, Sean, hasn't even filed charges in Maryland where this took place.
Well, is that going to happen this weekend?
So we don't know, do we? And now we're asking the FBI to come in. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if that's going to be part of the plan, if the Dems are going to push. Look, the American people are not going to be fooled by this political theater. And Tammy said it best. I was thinking of the exact same term, Tammy, collateral damage.
Yes, right.
The collateral damage is our justice system. It's our foundation of our country. It's the American people themselves. It's
our sons and daughters.
Judge Kavanaugh. Yeah, Judge Kavanaugh and his family. And then Dr. Ford. It's every single one of us. The FBI, Sean, is going to go. They are going to interview these five people who have already, by penalty of perjury, turned in their statements. And then they're going to turn them over to the Senate, all of these interviews, and that's that. They are fooling us. The Dems are lying to the American people. There is no investigation.
So, Congressman, by the way, congrats on the success of your book. Under the penalty of perjury, the four people gave their statements. So the only thing that could happen when the FBI, they're going to go back and they're going to ask a lot of questions, and they're going to find out one or two things, that the people stand by their statement or that they committed a felony. That's where we are in this process. What else could they possibly do investigatively?
Well, look, the Democrats lost the moral high ground when they hid this material. And then when the Republicans finally had this information, they invited the Democrats to join in the investigation. They didn't even show up at the meeting. And you know what? The United States Senate, they need a civics lesson, because it's not the role of the FBI to do this investigation. It's the role of the United States Senate. And how many senators had Ford and Kavanaugh sitting before them and they had a chance to ask questions? They didn't even ask a question. You know, I am actually very good friends with Jeff Flake, and on a personal level, I really like the guy. But how can you how can you look at this person and say, we need more time to investigate? At the same time, he has zero questions of Ford and zero questions of Kavanaugh. That's your opportunity. That's the job of the senators, not some FBI agent doing a seventh background check.
Okay. What it does is it gains them at least 5 days. And what we've seen, of course, in the tail end of the last few days, an accusation that had to be retracted, a completely anonymous accusation that was treated as though it was national news, no name, no address, nothing. We're going to see more of that come up. You're going to see equally outrageous dynamics with the gang rapes. You're going to see maybe real, actual people come up and step up with things that will be eventually proven to not be the case. But it will be a pile on to try to affect the actual vote when it happens.
So they want a delay. They want to delay
the
delay.
This is all they want.
Because they want to get to the midterms,
yes.
And they want to stop the president from fulfilling his constitutional duty. And this is a big part of the last campaign.
And they want to tell their base that they're doing something, because they're not doing anything legislatively for the country. So what are they doing now? They're becoming a group of people who are effectively, it's like a riot. It's like Antifa manifest as a party. And you wake up every day and
there's no more moderation in the Democratic Party.
Sarah,
absolutely. Oh, no, I thought you were going to ask me a question, Sean. No, absolutely. Tammy's right on the button with this one. Look, you're innocent until proven guilty. That is the law. That is how we approach things in this country fairly. That's Lady Liberty. We don't go out and throw out accusations. Look, I feel terrible for Dr. Ford. She obviously believes and maybe something did happen to her. It's not my place to judge her. But there is absolutely no evidence. There is no proof, and they will find nothing unless somebody comes forward out of nowhere. And even then, this was 35 years ago. Sean, there has to be a system that we follow. We can't just throw caution to the wind and allow this to go forward.
Congressman? Sean, it's the politics of personal destruction. It's a playbook that the Democrats continue to use. Scorched earth. It's the resistance movement. They want to destroy Kavanaugh. They want to delay this as long as possible, defeat him, and drag this country into the doldrums. It is absolutely, fundamentally, totally wrong, and Republicans have got to step up like Lindsey Graham and call it out for what it is and make sure that this person is now sitting on the Supreme Court.
Lindsey Graham had his finest moment in Congress. There is no, and he gave a great speech today.
I can't believe we're saying that, but I have to tell you, man, bravo, wow. Lindsey Graham.
Amazing. All right, we've got a lot more. I will just remind you, in 39 days, there's so much at stake. Really? Is this the party you now want in power after what we're witnessing?
That was a Sean Hannity and gang. And boy, I mean, This is dividing. This is very, very divisive. But we've got to go ahead and try to get to the bottom of this. And this final clip, we might run out of time, but I'm going to play as much of it for you. And I might have to cut off the ending music, but here's our final clip tonight. Here's Joe Biden saying what he did about FBI investigations a number of years ago.
The Democrats beloved Joe Biden. Remember back in 1991 during the Clarence Thomas confirmation, he said that FBI background checks were actually worthless. You don't even want one. But of course, that was then. This is now. Take a look.
The next person that refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion. Period. Period. So, Judge, there's no reason why you should know this. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you wouldn't like it if we did. Because it is inconclusive. They say he said, she said, and they said. Period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand, they do not reach conclusions. They do not make, as my friend points out more adequately, they do not make recommendations.
Here's Joe Biden saying what he did about FBI investigations a number of years ago. In concluding remarks tonight, there were problems with Christine Blasey Ford's testimony. What they did was they took the letter that she had written to Feinstein. There's some problems with the letter. There are experts saying that it was not written by a very well-educated person and so forth. Now, there's problems grammatical and so forth. I won't go into them now, but you can pick that up on the web. But Anyway, it was delay, Feinstein delayed. They brought this in at the 11th hour just to interrupt and to stop the final vote. And also, this thing about her being fearful of flying, she's flown all over the Pacific and everything else. And so that was a problem. There's another thing that came out, too, during the investigation, during the interviews on Thursday and so forth, was that his name, Kavanaugh's name, did not come up in her initial interviews with her psychologist or psychiatrist. And that would be 2013. She testified under oath that his name did not come up in those notes. Now, what's happening is the Democrats have refused, or the attorneys for Ms. Ford have not provided those notes to this committee, to the Republicans. And so that's a bone of contention also. And there were problems with her connections through the psychology department to Stanford in California and Palo Duro. And so Palo Alto, and to the Stanford, school out there. And she also has connections through her father and grandfather to the intelligence agencies, possibly OSS way back, CIA more recent. She's got a brother that was working for law firms that were connected to government. Her father evidently works for Redcoats Incorporated. And there's all the two companies associated with that do a lot of security work and so forth. So she grew up in that area in Maryland, went to very, very exclusive schools. Her father had connection to intelligence agencies and so forth. And so they brought her forward here late in the game. And so that's where a lot of your commentators are coming from, is that it looks like a totally contrived. She has no corroborating evidence of her claims and allegations. And that's what Senator Flake first balked about doing any extension or anything. But then they finally browbeat him in the back room or something into a concession of, yes, he voted to move it over to the Senate for a floor vote, but also with a proviso that the FBI come in and do a 7-day final, background conclusive check on Judge Kavanaugh. So that's where we're at right now. The four people that Ms. Ford named that were at this party, all four have said, no, it didn't happen, including Judge Kavanaugh. She's refusing to give the person that gave her a ride from the house that night, so we don't know how she got home. She can't give us an address, an exact date and time of that party. She did say she was drinking one beer. She had been swimming, I think maybe earlier, out at the country club there. And so that's a good distance. Depending on which house you're talking about, it could be 2 miles or it could be 6 miles, see. So there's just a lot of things that are uncertain, non-corroborated, period. And it's not a good allegation. So where do the FBI begin when they don't have a time, place, and so forth? Now there's news that's come up recently that she does have the ability to go back and file charges on him, and that would start a state of Maryland investigation. But the statute of limitations has already run, and so forth. So that wouldn't do much good for her, but it could get an investigation going. But I want to thank everyone out there in radio world for listening. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this thing. This is very divisive. It's dividing the country even more. There's hatred out there. There's all kinds of groups marching and protesting. And it's just unfortunate that it's evolved into this. We need to try to come to these conclusions more objectively and in a more organized way. Thank you for listening.